This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hello and welcome to the Simple Politics Podcast. Welcome to all of our listeners, but especially our Patreons who are listening a day early and ad-free, should they choose to. We don't dictate when you listen. Anyway, hello, Tat and Diane. How are you both?
Hello, Charlotte. Yes, good. What an exciting thing can I tell you? Come back. I'm going to have to make something up.
Oh, we always have something exciting.
Diane, you are so solid and constant, just kind of happily plodding along. We don't need the excitement from you. We just need to know you're there, being Diane and being wonderful. That's all we care about.
Okay, well that's good because that's all I've got.
Tatton, how are you?
I tell you what, it's been an odd week, isn't it? Like we've had the king getting diagnosed with cancer, and we were, you know, it was tea time, so I was kind of updating it while I was making meatballs and tomato sauce, and it's just an odd story because, you know, he's a man of a certain age, and kind of cancer kind of happens, and he was just in hospital, and that was for his prostate, and how much I remember when the Queen was a bit poorly and everyone was like, oh my goodness. And it's not the same with the King now. And in fact, it took approximately 30 seconds for all the chat to become what a numpty Harry is. Mm. And it's odd. And I was, because there was a PopCon, there was a launch of another kind of right-wing group of Tories or whatever. And I thought GB News would have the live feed. So I watched GB News for about 20 minutes, hoping they would cut live to this thing. I've never actually watched it before. And literally all they spoke about was Harry. I was like, the guy's not in the news. Why is this? And clearly, the reason they do it is because people like it when they do it, right? That's how free market media works. You talk about the things people want you to talk about. And yeah, it's odd. And, you know, we've got Miley Cyrus was being in the news, and Ray has been in the news.
Yeah,
and
loads of awards this week, haven't they?
Mm. Yeah. And do we care about awards?
Is that a TV awards, I care. Yeah.
It's been a whole week that's made me feel confused about life. And actually, I feel confused about life almost all the time anyway. But it's been that kind of week.
Yes, it has. But one thing we can help make less confusing is the world of politics. So let's move on.
You're so smooth, week in, week out.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the top posts of this week. So this is where we look at the posts that have been most popular on our page this week. Tatton, what was our third most popular?
Well, it was Internet Safety Day, World Internet Safety Day this week. And we were talking a lot about how we were going to cover it and what we were going to do. And my partner, the wonderful Katie, is a teacher, and she did a really boring lesson, she said. I think most of her lessons are probably quite dull. But she said she did a really boring lesson on AI. And she's got year three, so they're quite little to talk about it. Yeah. And she was saying that what we need to do is talk. Mm. If you see something on the internet, talk about it with somebody. like always. And then Meta basically did the same thing for adults, because they said they're going to talk about AI. So every time there's an AI image, they're going to put a little sticker on it that says this is AI, because they've worked out how to do that. I presume they've worked out how to do that. Sometimes they do make these announcements without really knowing how to do it.
But it's coming, I think.
Everyone,
yeah, and it's one of those. It's like...
It's coming, yeah. They've got people kind of sitting in offices with fuzzball and beanbags, kind of working on it right now. I don't think there's much to say about it. If they're going to stick at AI pictures, I mean, it's difficult because at the moment, a lot of the AI ones are obviously AI. You can really tell that the Pope in a puffer jacket.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Like
Donald Trump being arrested,
all
those ones, you know, that did
happen though.
But
yeah, but then they get liked and shared, and that's
not an image of it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So we're going to get a label at some point because this stuff is bad, and so Meta are going to be the good guys, as if.
On that note, Diane, what was our second most popular post of the week?
Okay, number two is all about teeth. Oh, we've talked about this so many times. We've talked about self-dentistry this year, or in the past 12 months, certainly. We've talked about kids turning up at A&E because of tooth decay. That's the number one reason for 6 to 10-year-olds. We've talked about all this stuff. It feels like it's been bubbling for a while, this whole thing that NHS dentistry is broken and teeth are becoming sort of another marker of inequality in a way. So you can either afford to go private for your dentistry, or you can be queuing around a block for 3 days like people in Bristol were this week. And you know, that's it. So government responded this week, and it's kind of it's a little bit like papering over some of the cracks. Okay, so it's like, what can we do in the worst areas to get people in on NHS lists? In rural and isolated areas where you currently don't have anyone taking on NHS, can we get these, I think Tatton, you described them as like dental buses or vans coming in, who are gonna park up and say, lie back, let's see what we can do in a car park somewhere.
You see, in my head they've got kind of greasy overalls on while they do this.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. I think it's probably going to be better than that.
Yeah.
Like on a serious level, I've previously given blood in a mobile. In fact, when I worked at Parliament, they used to drive the mobile give blood units in, and they're excellent. And I mentioned Katie Riddish, she had a CT scan, or one of the scans where you go in your whole body and there's like magnets that go around you. Mm. And that was in a
van.
Mobile one. Yep. And they drive them from hospital to hospital to get them done. So while I'm being slightly tongue in cheek, you can have very good quality. Mm-hmm. Like those machines are like millions, aren't they? Mm-hmm. These scanning machines. So they can be very,
can
very
be good.
And these mobile units.
You know, something clearly needs to be done. But I don't think this recovery plan, and especially from if you saw the exchanges in the Commons yesterday, it's not serving the long-term crisis of NHS dentists leaving. It's not going to provide more dentists, but it's definitely, there's cash incentives to get some people seen more quickly. But you know, for 240 dentists, that's 1% of the of dentists operating out there. But certainly it's something for the worse off areas. But we had a dentist write into us yesterday, very new to the profession, and she tried to break down sort of what's happening in a way, just for our understanding, to help. She'd seen the post and said, let me just tell you how it is in reality, working on NHS contracts. And it's really complicated. It's so complex, the system, the contract system for NHS currently. You know, the levels and the things that you have to do to hit to get your money back for seeing an NHS patient is so complicated. And she said, you know, she's really keen. She loves her work. She's passionate about it. But it still feels broken, because even when you get the money for NHS dentistry, you're then, you know, splitting that with your practice. You've got a huge license to practice to pay. You've got insurances. There's so many kind of obstacles making it complicated and making it difficult that she's saying sort of, in all of this, don't forget, dentists want to do a good job, a bit like the doctors and nurses, all of that. This is about how it feels to go into work every day. And while this stuff will do something, maybe for the long queues around the blocks, dentistry still needs more. It still needs more.
So, I mean, we're talking about radical reform of the way we do dentistry, aren't we? This government at this stage are not about to radically reform anything. They can talk about it maybe after the election. Should Rishi Sunak still be the Prime Minister next year, maybe then there is scope to do it. But changing it all, I mean, it's going to be a good several year project to get round and rip it up and start again, which it sounds like is what we need to do. And Labour, I mean, Labour are talking about they've got a plan. They like to talk about their plan, but that's not radical reform either. So maybe at this point we can hope that after the election, whoever gets in can go, right, let's sort this out. Because it's just another thing when we feel as a country that everything's going wrong. It's another thing that's going wrong. And it's not like the rest of health, because it's not as expensive to go private. So a lot of people are going private. A lot of people do go private because, in terms of cost, it's not like getting, you know, an operation done privately, which can cost thousands of pounds. It's more achievable. So a much higher percentage of the population does go private, which means that it's easier not to think about the people who don't.
Yeah. Agree. Yeah.
Which all. And yeah, I mean, the thing that everyone agrees on is we need to encourage more dental hygiene away from the dentist. Talking about toothbrushing, you know, like encouraging it, because it's just these things get lost in the weird world of 2024. Things get lost on the way, and we can't be losing our dental health because it really matters.
Well, Labour have been talking for a while about encouraging, having lessons in school about toothbrushing, and now the Tories have announced that that's what they're going to do as part of this. So,
and there were comments on the post yesterday that said that that's already happening.
In some,
So it might not be mandated at the moment, but schools are doing it.
Yeah.
So a point of agreement between the parties. Lovely to see.
Isn't that nice?
Tatton, what was our most popular post of the week?
Oh, our most popular post of the week was from Esther Gay, who was on Laura Koonsberg's show on Sunday morning. And I must admit, when I saw she was on, because I always have a look on Saturday who's going to be on so I can get all excited for political cut and thrust. And I was like, oh gosh, we've got a grieving mother. This isn't the kind of politics that I really want to be spending my Sunday morning sharing. But she was so amazing and so strong and so brilliant. Yeah, I mean, you know me, I'm a weeper at the best of times, but I was just absolutely sobbing on the sofa on Sunday morning. She was talking about smartphones. She was saying that we need to have under 16 smartphones that have no social media apps on them. So they can call, they can message, they can even play games, but they can't engage in all the social media stuff. And that's her campaign at the moment. The thing is, these phones exist. They already exist, but no one uses them.
No, because like, they're not cool, are they?
Because people, I mean,
yeah, that.
And they get used in year five. A lot of people might get these kinds of phones when they're in primary school. My kids didn't get phones until year six. In fact, my youngest is still in year four. And so he keeps talking about when he gets a phone in 2 years' time. It's very cute. But often those first phones are like that. But by the time they're at secondary, by the time they're in, you know, year nine, they want to be on it. And it's hard. So the only way to do it would be to make it compulsory. And that's hard to enforce, but it might go some way to doing it. Even if it's hard to enforce, if it changes the behavior 80% of the people, and that's keeping 80% of the people safer, I guess. Mm. And then the other 20%, you know, whatever. But it's a hard sell, and it's a campaign that's got a long way to go before anyone thinks that it might be a goer. But you understand where she's coming from,
yeah.
And this idea of keeping people safe.
Yeah.
And it might mean that more people, we might not ever get to the point where you have to have an under 16's phone, but there might be more monitoring on phones. There might be a halfway house between what she's asking for, mm-hmm. and what happens,
mm.
where there is more monitoring, less social, more whatever. The other thing about the smartphones was that there would be an automatic download on the adult's phone for keywords.
Yeah.
And this is because of torture, which Scarlett, I think her name is, one of Brianna's killers, was watching torture, like actual people being actually tortured on the internet. And these kind of search terms would then be shown, and you would know that your daughter, whoever, was watching torture. And I mean, Molly, oh God, I get so emotional about this stuff, but Molly took her own life after watching self-harm online, and she had searched once for self-harm videos, and then whatever the platform it was just kept on serving it again and again and again until she ended up dead. And so that those keywords popping up on adults' phones could be incredible. I mean, we're talking about AI images and Meta saying they're going to label AI images while their algorithms are also killing people. Like, it's disgusting, and we need to do more about it.
Mm.
And then this all rumbled on into PMQs, and Diane, I don't know if you want to talk about this.
Yeah, so Esther was at PMQs, Brianna's mom. She'd come, she was due to meet with Keir Starmer later that day, and I believe they did. And at PMQs, we posted on this last week. It's been appalling for weeks. It's been just tetchy and bad tempered and not okay, not talking about ideas and policies in the way that we would expect something that's meant to hold a PM to account to be. It's not that. And that's why we haven't posted on it for quite a while. But yesterday, Rishi Sunak made a jibe around Keir Starmer's definition of a woman, you know, on the very day that Esther was there to see PMQs. And obviously that's not cool. And it's not a good example for the PM to set. And there are calls for him to apologise. And he was offered the chance to do that. An MP raised that actually at the time and said, do you want to, you know, maybe take that back or say something different? And he said some very, very lovely things about Esther, but he didn't actually apologize. So it's, yeah, yeah.
But he makes this joke nearly every week. And, you know, it's always bad.
Yeah.
It's always bad. Unkind.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, you know, okay, Esther was there yesterday, but PMQs doesn't happen in a vacuum. Mm. Every week there can be people watching who are the parents or loved ones of, you know, trans people who have
very true
been killed or been abused. We also have a trans MP. So the fact that, I mean, it's great that people are calling him out this week, but why not all the other weeks? That's what's been bothering me the past 24 hours. Like, why was it not okay yesterday, but it's okay every other week? And no one bats an eyelid.
Fair point.
I find it especially, because legally, right, we already have rules, laws about people who change their gender, right? Mm-hmm. The Gender Reform Act is a thing. and it says you can change your gender without having had surgery, right? That's officially a thing, which means by law, a woman can have a penis. By law. That's... So anyone saying that a woman can't have a penis is incorrect legally, regardless of morals, regardless of ethics or anything else. And so all of this kind of falling over each other that happens in the Conservative Party, that happens, you know, Kerry Badenoch in particular, saying we know what a woman is. It's like, well, the law is, yes, we do know what a woman is, and it's not what you're saying. So this whole discourse isn't based around a legal system that we have. It's so odd. And, you know, like Sunak this week made that comment, and I'm sure it was just scripted and it didn't even think, and, you know, like, Charlotte, you're right, like, it's incorrect all the time, but I don't think he considered the Brianna link. And then he made this bet on Monday. It feels like, what's going on with him? Is he just falling apart under the pressure?
Why don't we discuss that in PM Watch?
Yes, let's do it.
Was that, shut up, we're coming to this.
Let's do it.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
So, yes, this is the mailbag, and this is your opportunity to ask us questions, and we'd love to hear from you. So, first of all, we have a question from Nigel. What does Britain look like a year from now if the Tories win the next election? Let's ask both of you. I'm going to give you both 1 minute each to have your predictions of what Britain will look like a year from now if the Tories win the next election. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Go on, John.
I was just going to say, I think if the Tories win the next election a year from now, I mean, the country will be in shock. It's not going to happen. Look at the polls. it would be a country going, what? That was nothing like what was predicted. No, it's just incomprehensible.
Okay, so you're not going to entertain an imagined future? Nope. Okay.
No.
Go on, Tatton.
Well, I mean, I can see it happening. I think it's possible. I think that today we've seen the Labour Party walk away from a massive key part of their manifesto. I think that the Labour Party are a mess. They're currently anyone that's not the Conservatives. So that's why they are where they are. I think it's very easy for them to collapse. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's possible at least. What will Britain look like? Well, a year from now, we will only have just have got past the election, but we will have had the King's Speech, and we'll have a rejuvenated Rishi Sunak making changes, making plans. He says he's the change candidate, doing things like maybe we're talking about reforming a dentist. The NHS dentistry things, you will see a lot of policies and a lot of ideas coming out of how to change Britain for the better under a Conservative government.
There we go. Sadie has asked, how will voting work for the popular Conservative Party members at the general election, i.e. will the existing MPs step down and run in their current constituencies for PopCon? He wants to
Sadie, this. No, you've been misled here. It's just a bunch of Conservative MPs who agree on things. They're still Conservative MPs. They're not officially, it's not, they won't have popcorn on their name. They're just Conservatives. They're just people within the Conservative Party who would like to see it move a little bit to the right. In fact, we didn't really see many promises or anything they really wanted to do. The existence of a group rallying around Liz Truss just amazes me. Mm. Like she had her chance. Mm. She got voted in as leader. She became prime minister and she was so terrible. She was outlived by a lettuce, right? It didn't work. And she's now, I mean, what, a year later? Like just over a year later, leading a group, suggesting that her ideas are the ones they should follow. We've all got our own ideologies and, you know, I'm sure she believes it, but her project failed so spectacularly. I find it amazing that there's now all these people who want to give her another go. Is that what they want? I don't know, but they're not a new political party. They're just a group of Conservative MPs.
Who were popular, according to themselves.
Self-declared, yeah.
Yes, self-identified.
People frequently try and say we're not populist. Mm. Like populist isn't a label that people want. So popular is not quite populist, but no. I don't know what else it means. I don't think they're going to be hugely, I don't think they're going to have much impact on very much going forward.
But the Tories have a lot of groups within them, don't they? That aren't separate parties. They're just groups of MPs that band together. So there's the European Research Group, the Common Sense Group.
Northern.
The One Nations.
Northern Powerhouse.
The One Nations. Yeah. There we go. So.
And the Nationalists, the Nationalist Conservatives, Marion Cates does those. Yeah.
Are the New Conservatives one as well?
Possibly.
Is that something else?
Possibly.
Yeah. There's a lot going on. Okay, Amelia asks, do you have any advice for an 18-year-old approaching their first vote?
Oh, this is a brilliant question. Oh, Amelia, make sure, first of all, do all the admin bits. Make sure you're registered. If you haven't already, get on there. Make sure that you will actually be able to do it. Make sure you've got your ID sorted, because ID is going to be a thing when it comes to this general election. So make sure, you know, you don't want to rock up for your first ever vote, like, amazing, and then, you know, be turned away. So make sure you've got all the, like, necessary factors in play. And then enjoy it. Read everything. Watch everything. This is like a big moment. You're a decision maker. This is cool. And, you know, read our page, obviously. We'll break down policies, see what party's most suited to you, and make sure you get that polling station selfie at the end.
Although you're not taking photos inside.
Outside, yeah.
Outside, yeah. Just don't make Amelia, the mistake of taking a photo in the booth.
I don't know where you live, Amelia. It'd be odd if I did. But you might have a vote in May as well. May might be your first vote for in a local or mayoral or police and crime commissioner vote. So consider that a nice little warm-up, a limber-up for the big general election vote. Two in a year, never done it before. Two in a year, smashing it.
Nice. Okay, let's move on to PM Watch. So we have already talked about PM's performance at PMQs. But yeah, Tatton, what else has Rishi been up to this week?
Well, I mentioned it earlier, this odd bet. He went in and did this interview with Piers Morgan. And Rishi Sunak's been doing a lot of interviews recently. Mm. Normally, like, you see ministers or even prime ministers do the rounds. So they'll do on any given Tuesday morning, they might go and do ITV's morning TV show and then Radio 5 and then BBC One and then Radio 4 and Times Radio and all of this. And they do it all in about an hour and a half with about 10, 15, 20 minutes on each. But right now, Rishi Sunak is doing kind of one-off interviews with places. He did Five Live the other day.
He's done this morning. He did this morning with Rylan.
Piers Morgan. He did this morning with Rylan. Yeah. And then he popped up on Piers Morgan's Talk TV. And lots of people have said that Talk TV is like a nothing TV channel and no one watches it. And actually, I don't think that's true because I go on Talk TV sometimes. And so I think it's pretty blockbuster. A pretty serious place for serious people. But away from the serious place and serious people is Piers Morgan. His show is far and away the biggest thing on Talk TV. And it's the only time it often really appears on TV ratings or whatever. But Rishi Sunak went on and it's just, it wasn't very comfortable because Piers Morgan's whole shtick is being laddie and quite confrontational and just loving to talk about Piers Morgan. And when Piers Morgan's got the Prime Minister opposite him, it's quite awkward watching Piers Morgan talk so much about Piers Morgan and not kind of about the Prime Minister. And Rishi Sunak just totally gets sucked into this laddie vibe. And then when Piers Morgan, which Morgan has clearly been planning the whole time, asks him to put £1,000 bet on Sunak, of course says yes, because he's just in this kind of yes, Piers kind of mode. And to be fair, the bet is £1,000 to refugee charities. It isn't £1,000 into each other's pockets. Mm-hmm. It's you'll give £1,000, which does get lost and does change it a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's not about, he's not now, Rishi Sunak has been suggested that Rishi Sunak is now working to get £1,000 into his own pocket by sending people to Rwanda, but that's not the case. And it's obviously crass. It's obviously not nice to have politicians betting, especially when we're talking about sending people to a country which some court has said is not safe, even though the law now might well say is safe. It's just, it doesn't stick right.
No.
It's also a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same week as people have got their final, because they're stopping, cost of living crisis,
payment.
£300.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, like, what's this, three of them just chucked away. Now, it is going to charity, which is good.
Mm. Yeah.
But it didn't feel right.
No, it's a judgment thing, isn't it? And it does make you question what Rishi was thinking, because obviously media training for prime ministers and ministers and all the rest of it would lead you to believe that there are going to be interviewers who are thinking about that. What's going to be the 30, 60 second clip that comes from this whole interview, and what's going to make it like hit the headlines tomorrow, and they're going to want to do something or get you to like say something that's going to be big. And he should be looking out for that stuff, or at least notice it, you know, be like,
But I think he wants to be, I think it was a mistake. He said he regrets it afterwards, but I think he wants to be a man of the people. And so I think I've watched the interview. He just kind of gets sucked into it. Like he's like going along for the ride. It's like, do you want a bet? Yeah, I'm going to have a bet. It's going to happen, you know, because and I believe he does think that the Rwanda policy is a way to stop the boats. Everyone can agree those boats are a tragedy. If he thinks the Rwanda policy is a way to stop the boats, then it's a good policy in his eyes. And he wants to make it happen. And he sees it all as a win, right? He says it's a safe country because he's been there and they've got checks in place. They've put checks in place to make sure it's a safe country for the people we send there. And they've done this and they've done that and they've done that. So it's a safe country. We're going to make it work. And someone says, do you want to bet? He's like, yeah, damn straight. Let's do it. Right. And yes, it was a stupid thing to have done. And he regrets it. And he said he regrets it. And then we get to the Brianna Gray's mum, Esther Gay. And that's another, I mean, I don't know how intentional or how unintentional that was. But we've got, like I said earlier, these things are slipping here.
Yeah, not been Sunak's finest week. I think that's fair to say. But what about next week? What's in your crystal ball for the next week, Tatton?
We've got actual by-elections next week. Two seats that are currently Conservatives. I don't see how they can stay Conservative. I think at the moment, if anyone in the country has a vote, the number of people that actually put across next to the Conservative box is pretty slim. Be interesting to see how well Reform do.
Yeah.
And the Liberal Democrats, if they've... It's not been looking great for them recently. So, will they come ahead? Will Labour just sweep to victory by miles in both? By-elections are great. They're absolutely great because they actually tell you very, very little, but you can read into them all you like.
Yeah.
All sorts. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Diane, what's in your crystal ball?
I just think we're going to hear loads and loads about Ukraine from now on in, basically till the end of the month. It's 2 years coming up. It's coming up to the actual date when Russia invaded on the 24th. You know, obviously things are still, ongoing. They're still at war. The UK is still providing support and aid. And it's just incredible to think back to those first months and how naively short term I imagined the whole thing to be. And when it was, can you take a Ukrainian for 6 months? 6 months, you know, and maybe this will all be over, and it's very much not. And the world feels probably less stable than it did back then. So expect lots of that. But can I just say, because that's a bit of a downer, to kind of put it on a positive, it's also Pancake Day next week. So,
and Valentine's Day on Wednesday. If you're the kind of person who has a partner who expects that kind of stuff, then don't forget, it's Wednesday.
Are they the same day?
A PSA.
No, you get to eat your pancakes first.
Pancake Day's on Tuesday. Yes.
Yeah, your pancakes first. Yeah.
Okay. Not great, though, if you take part in Lent, if you give up chocolate for Lent and then you've got Valentine's Day the next day. Anyway, we'll leave that dilemma to you guys. Thank you very much, Tat and Diane.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Well, thank you very much.
And thank you, lovely listeners. We hope to see you again next week. Bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
Bye, everyone.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.